Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And again, Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Boy, we've got a lot of things to get into for the next 4 hours. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, the suit for a seg. Yeah, just hanging out. Hanging out. Willie Dunnick will join us. Just one. He's got one in him today. It's all right, though. Sometimes it's situational pitching that can still win you baseball games.
I'm the opener. That's what this is.
Although the Braves did need situational pitching last night.
No, they did not.
Holy moly. They mopped the Nationals.
Freddie,
16-4?
Freddie who?
We're there?
We're there.
Yeah, we're there. This feels like Teddy Bridgewater. You've moved on pretty quickly. You seem to move on from your exes pretty quick.
Well, I haven't really moved on. This is what this is. This is the, you know, you run into the guy at the bar and, you know, they went through the breakup and he's like, yeah, no, I'm cool. You know, I got a new girlfriend now. You know, she's hotter. But really it's all a cover up because you're just crying and dying inside. So that's kind of what this is right now.
That's what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not a good breakup because there's a lot of, like, you got Acuna saying, like, stuff.
Yeah,
and you got Freddie saying stuff.
Like, get me caught up to speed on that. Like, what? And for people who haven't heard, like, what is that whole thing about? Because then Acuna was backpedaling, right?
Oh, no. It's like it's so Acuna. So he doesn't speak English, so everything that he says has to be translated.
But do we know that he doesn't?
Well, it might be like Sammy Sosa. I don't know. But
maybe situational.
Yeah, situational. There you go. So he basically says that, you know, he was asked about how he feels about Freddie being gone, and he's like, I had no feelings. Like, you know, he's basically like, cool, great. You know, we didn't really get along.
What did you make of that? I mean, were you surprised by that?
Not one bit, because
really?
No, because I think Ronald Acuna is a hell of a baseball player, but I also think he's got, you know, we've talked about this before, him not running it out, you know, not running to first. There's some attitude stuff there.
Sure.
And Freddie doesn't put up with that. Freddie was the leader in the clubhouse and he even said when he was asked about it, he said that, you know, there were rules of the team that I was enforcing. And that was my job as one of the leaders of the team to enforce those rules. And so that's basically what it was. My favorite part, though, was after this supposed interview, then Acuna goes to Twitter and is like, oh, I didn't say it. I didn't say anything. I don't know what you're talking about.
He backpedaled big time, didn't he?
Yeah, but that doesn't surprise me.
He could have tried out for the Titans, maybe made the team in the secondary.
He definitely could have been a defensive back. But the bats woke up last night and they don't even have Acuna in the lineup right now. So
do you think they fed Jobu? They didn't take Jobu's rum, did they? That's what happened.
No, they fed Jobu. They had hats for bats.
Big bucket of chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, they were good. So that was a can that they opened up for sure.
That's one way of putting it. Yeah, I was like, wow, okay.
16-4. Unreal.
Yeah. So they are off and running. Predators get it done last night. 1-0 in OT. Wasn't easy, but you know what? Who's kidding who? It never is. That's why they play the games. They're
especially
pros.
This time of year.
You don't think San Jose didn't remember the butt whooping they took about 5 weeks ago? The embarrassment that they took at their place? I mean, they're still pros. I mean, they're out
sure.
of it. But people act like, oh, you know, like they just – that these – you know, some do, but most don't, especially hockey players. Like, you know, they tend to, you know – be professional about it. And so I'm not surprised. I thought the Predators outplayed them again. I thought they outplayed Pittsburgh. This time they got the result, but man, it's, you know, it's one fluky bounce or one play away from not getting the result, and that obviously would not have been a good thing. So they start off the five-game homestand with a 1-0 overtime victory, but really didn't get any help whatsoever in the standings, which tells you now how important that win was, because Dallas beat Tampa in a late win last night, and I was listening to Vegas and Vancouver on the way home. Vegas was trailing the whole game.
Yeah.
And then came back and tied it up and lost in overtime. So they activated Mark Stone. I still haven't had the time to read on what they had to do, what magic tricks they had to do to get him, you know, under the salary cap, because I think they were like $5 million over by activating him. Remember, they made the trade at the deadline to free themselves up for money for these guys coming back. Pacioretty just came back. Stone is back. And remember, the league nixed the deal.
They did. That was an interesting I meant to bring that up, because when I was out there and went to the Predators and Golden Knights game, that was the first game after.
That was the
after.
First game for him, yeah.
Yeah, and he got a standing ovation.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be awkward. It was looked like it was far from awkward.
Yeah, and he scored.
Yeah, so, he did, unfortunately.
But, so that was kind of interesting. Well, Elliot was at that game last night in Vancouver, so we can – you know, we can ask Elliot tomorrow when he's on with us. So I saw him tweeting pictures.
He was at the game.
He tweeted a picture.
All right.
I assume that meant he was there.
Okay.
He tweeted a picture of the rink.
We need to find out if he's back out on the road again. I don't remember him saying something like that. I'd be curious. I have to ask him.
Well, now you have me like second guessing. But
no,
I saw,
I'm just saying that he has not brought up anything about traveling to games. So.
Yeah, he tweeted a picture. He tweeted a picture in warmups that made it look like he was there.
Okay, all right.
So
Dallas beats Tampa, Vegas loses to Vancouver in OT. So Nashville is still 1 point ahead of Dallas for the final two. So Dallas and Nashville with the two final wild card spots. St. Louis keeps winning. Minnesota keeps winning. So unfortunately. It looks like, I don't know how you feel about it, it looks like that two or three spot seems like quite the stretch here.
Yeah.
With these few games remaining. It looks like Minnesota and St. Louis are going to lock down that second, third spot, which, by the way, will be a hell of a matchup in the first round, right?
I think I lean St. Louis there right
now.
I don't
know. Minnesota's on fire right now.
Yeah.
So is St. Louis.
Yeah,
I mean,
they both are.
Both red-hot teams.
I think the reason I say that is that last game that I saw Minnesota in against Nashville, they just didn't look good. Now, you know, Fleury's still getting settled was still getting settled and all of that, but he didn't look good. They looked off. It could have been one game, obviously, but I think that's going to be definitely a fun matchup.
Did you see the scoring last night for the Wild?
I did not.
They had five goals.
Yeah, I did not. I saw the score, but I didn't see how it all came to be.
Let's see. Two goals for Ryan Hartman. He's got 29 on the season.
That's unreal.
29. Kevin Fiala, two goals. I think he's got 26.
Wow.
Freddie Gaudreau.
Freddie Hockey.
Those were the five goals last night by Minnesota.
Predators North. By the way,
those names sound familiar, folks.
Yes,
yeah.
They do. And
they
Ryan
sound familiar because they should.
And Ryan Johansson gets the winner here. I have to use. So I was on Fox 17 Sunday night talking about the Predators, and Jill Jelnick used the phrase "Red Hot Ryan," and I like that because that's exactly what he is right now. I don't think he's gonna hit 30 because I just think he's gonna run out of time. But he can certainly make it interesting down the stretch. I mean, 23 goals for him already.
I mean, if he stays at the pace he's on,
he's
going to
hit it. But they got what, 9 left?
Yep.
So I mean, he's got to get 7 goals in 9 games, which is certainly doable. But the playoff Ryan Johansson has already started, which I think is good.
I think that one's a stretch. Although it could get interesting. I don't know. Meantime, we'll find out. Starting again tomorrow night. He could put another one in the back of the net. I mean, okay. It's, you know, he's just going to keep getting closer and closer. But we'll see. To me, there are three players that I think is going to be really interesting to see how this plays out down the stretch. Can Tanner Jeannot beat Forsberg's rookie record?
Yeah.
Needs 2 to tie, 3 to beat it. Can Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene get to where no man has ever been in franchise history. They both have 38 goals.
Yep.
Can both of them or one of them get to 40?
I still think they both do.
In the last week or so, we all would be going, of course. But, like, every game that goes by, and I thought Forsberg was going to get his 39th last night, but obviously it got challenged for offsides, and it was negated. But every game that goes by that they don't score is, you know, getting a little bit closer to the finish line, and it's like, come on, finish this up. So how would you answer that? One, both, all three get done. How do you think it plays out?
And I think there's two others that you're leaving off that are going to be interesting to watch.
Well, Yossi to 100.
Yossi to 100 points and 20 goals. And Trennan is three away from 20 goals as well. So that would be something to watch. But that question specifically, I do think Duchesne and Forsberg both get to 40. I just feel like they're both so close and they've played so well that, you know, when one, because what we've seen is when one scores, the other one answers. It's just, you know, and David Poile talked about that a little bit yesterday. Janot, I think, is going to come up just a bit short.
Really?
Yep. I think he's going to be just a bit short because we see the puck being passed around right now. I mean, it's like Johansson's hot. Janot's had his point in the season where he's been hot. So it's, you know, I just kind of wonder how that's all going to shake out. But I think he'll be just a bit short. He could get – so you said he's two from tying it?
Mm-hmm.
He could tie it. I don't know if he gets 27.
Mm.
But I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. Well, it would be. I mean, it'd be amazing if, like, a lot of those – I mean, they're not all going to happen, but if a lot of those happen, I mean, wow.
Well, when was the last time – because if Yossi and Trennan both break the 20-goal mark, you would have six players over that threshold, and I'm pretty sure that's – they've never even come close to that in one season.
I would say that's – yeah, I would say that's probably hasn't happened. You kept saying the Yossi. That's right. He got that was
he got one taken away.
Yeah, he got the one taken away.
Yep.
All right, we're going to come back and talk about some Big Ten players that could be on the Titans' radar. Remember, the draft is in 2 weeks from tomorrow. We'll talk to Anthony Heron from the Big Ten Network. But first, Chase, you're going to tell everybody about Screwball.
I am. I've been talking about it. It's my go-to when I'm out with my friends, and here's what I love about it. You know, I prefer to take it as a shot, but some people might want to drink it on the rocks just by itself, or you can make a peanut butter old fashioned, which is popular. I had somebody tell me the other day they've soaked gummy bears in it to make it taste like peanut butter and jelly, but it is awesome because it goes down smooth, and it is an original just like me, which is what I love about it. All natural flavored as a shot on the rocks, an old fashioned. PB&J shot with a berry liqueur. You can go to screwballwhiskey.com for more recipes. It's made with real whiskey, peanuts, and peanut butter. So that is what makes it an original. When you're out with your friends, ask for it by name. Order a Screwball peanut butter whiskey, but do like I do. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits LLC, San Diego, California, whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume.
Back here on the DDC, don't forget you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Let's talk a little bit about the draft. 2 weeks from tomorrow, Titans possess the 26th pick overall. And to do that, let's head up to Big Ten country. Anthony Heron, former player, Big Ten Network, does stuff on NBC Sports, does radio on 670. The Score up in Chicago. Anthony, how you doing?
Oh, outstanding. We appreciate you guys having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. You know, want to just kind of pick your brain. You've seen these guys up close and personal. I know he's not going to be there for the Titans unless John Robinson wakes up feeling really, really frisky and he decides to move way up in the draft. But I just want to get your thoughts on Aiden Hutchinson, the young man from Michigan. I mean, we watched him this year. He looks like an impactful player, but you saw him up close and personal week in and week out. How good can this guy be in your opinion?
I think it's accurate when you hear folks describe Hutchinson as having a really, really high floor. I think the ceiling may not be quite as as high just with the raw ability that's there and how much meat may still be on the bone to sort of continue at the next level. He's going to be a good player. He's going to be a heck of an NFL edge player, whether it's with his hand in the dirt as a defensive end or standing up in a two-point stance. You see more and more schemes around the National Football League able to use bigger bodies standing up off the edge also. But Aiden Hutchinson will be able to do either one. He's going to do them full tilt with all the maximum effort. And he showed at the combine that even though he comes off perhaps a little bit stiff or rigid in his movements, which can be really important for true edge rushers and to be able to use some of the finesse moves that increase your toolbox coming off the edge, he's a little bit stiff with some of those maneuvers. That's one of the things that separates him from what we've seen from Nick and Joey, what we've seen from some of the other number one overall pick caliber, top five pick level defensive end, outside linebacker types who've been drafted even from high school in recent years. He's maybe not quite as fluid in his movements, but he is very explosive as an athlete. He works his tail off, and he does have a wide array of pass rush maneuvers. So I got no doubt he's going to be effective as an NFL player. And in a draft class like this, it's the reason he's going to very likely be the number one, certainly a top two or three pick, if, depending on if someone really is eager for one of the offensive tackles that are being discussed up there. Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a guy who's going to come in. He's going to impact right away, and he looks like a guy who's going to impact for a long time. But I don't think he's just in the true film evaluation. Is he on the same par with some of the other defensive end types in the last over the last decade who've been in that number one overall pick discussion? I don't think just in the sheer skill and position, he's not quite on par with some of them, but it's a year where folks aren't, there's not quarterbacks regarded in that same refrain to go number one overall. So if it's not an offensive tackle, it's going to be Aiden Hutchinson, and the team's going to be happy when they get him.
A guy that's been linked, if you look at enough of these mocks, you'll probably see everybody linked to you eventually, but the Titans could very well be in the wide receiver market and possibly in the first round. Jahan Dotson, the wide receiver from Penn State. What do you think of him?
I'm really, really fond of Jahan Dotson. He's a guy who, for whatever reason, in the evaluation, he's being viewed as a late round, late first round, early second round type of prospect. I think a lot of it is just due to the depth of the class this year. Had a few of the insane 40 times to play for the combine. So a guy like that plays, his play speed is as fast as anyone. Him running a 4.4 at the combine, folks are like, oh, okay, maybe that's not quite as fast as we thought he was. 4.4 is plenty of speed to be electrifying in the National Football League, and he was as electrifying as anyone on the field with that straight line speed. You add in the fact that his frame is a little bit slight, he's well under 200 pounds, and so you would think at the next level they'll look to maybe thicken him up a little bit, especially because of the way he was utilized in Penn State's offense. He's a guy that not only can run the deeper vertical routes and take the top off the defense, he showed plenty of that ability, but he was also a guy who they used for some gadget plays. He's got a lot of wiggle. He was an excellent punt and kick returner throughout various stages of his collegiate career, so he's got some of that short area burst, running back style, but he's not built like Deebo Samuel from the 49ers, and so he's not necessarily a guy you would want to utilize a lot of that as far as really having a perhaps an extension of your rushing attack, but he's got the skills as a runner to do it. So a couple of reasons he may need to bulk up a little bit, but extremely sure-handed. He can go up and make the contested grab. He did it over some well-regarded defensive backs over his last couple of seasons. And it's worth noting, the passing attack in State College wasn't always great while Jahan Dotson was there. He didn't always have some high-level quarterbacks throwing the ball to him, and he still put up numbers. So he got better every season he played college football.
Good stuff. The Titans haven't had a lot of success, Anthony, in the last couple of years with offensive linemen, but, they lose another key one in the offseason, and they may be in the market again for an offensive lineman. People will hold their breath on if it works out. But a school that's been known to pump out offensive linemen in Iowa, what do you think about Tyler Linderbaum? I see, people are projecting him also kind of a late first-round pick. What do you think of him?
he's going to be a quality NFL player. Here's what Tyler Linderbaum is going to end up facing a little bit once he gets to the league, is that he's coming in with such a reputation. And as much as, you know, NFL players are accustomed to, there's going to be guys who are all-stars at the collegiate level who got some headlines here or there. But when you're talking about a center who got the level of acclaim and some of the publicity, like, I mean, people like myself on television talking about, like, hey, early in the season when Iowa as a team was doing really well, but they didn't have individual stars, Tyler Linderbaum was kind of their best star on a very mediocre offense. I was talking about, hey, should he be discussing? He's going to be sort of a celebrity center when he enters the National Football League. And so can he be in a position where, you know, if he's matched up with some of these high-level, big physical nose guards in certain schemes, is he a guy who could maybe be a little bit overmatched physically? That's always been a little bit of the conversation about Linderbaum. He was a great wrestler in high school. He was a really high-level defensive lineman as well when he got to college, and they moved him over to center, and he never gave the job up. And so even just in stature, where he's still at this point, I believe, under 300 pounds, but he's not a guy who doesn't have ground-based power. He's certainly someone who could move people off the point of view. He is as tenacious as it gets. So he's going to play well. He's going to play early. He's going to play for a long time. But it's the expectation that he'll come in and be, you know, an immediate Pro Bowler and a guy who's making highlight reel blocks right off the bat. So I think that could end up depending on the situation he's really drafted into, because there will be some high-level expectations. You don't normally see celebrity centers entering the NFL. It's really kind of one of the main knocks, aside from, does he have all the heft, kind of the lead in his pencil, the junk in his trunk, if you will. But aside from that, it's whether or not he's one of these guys who, when he steps in, can he really, you know, be someone who holds up and move folks off the ball. I think that expectation level is something that could end up needing to be managed with Tyler Linderbaum, because if he's going to get drafted in the top 15, there's going to be huge expectations there, because you don't normally see centers going that high in the draft.
We're talking to Anthony Herron. He is with the Big Ten Network. Anthony, I heard you mention something about the wrestling skill, and I hear that a lot. I'm always a big fan of people that grow up and play multi-sports, that one can help the other. I hear a lot here recently about how linemen in particular, offensive and defensive, can really benefit from wrestling.
Without a doubt. And, you know, even to stick with the Tyler Linderbaum example, a guy he wrestled against pretty frequently in high school was Tristan Wirfs, who also, of course, came from the University of Iowa and went on to immediately be a rookie stud at right tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on their way to a Super Bowl, and just being a great team at the time Tom Brady's been there the last couple of seasons. And Tristan Wirfs and Tyler Linderbaum would match up pretty frequently in high school. Wirfs won more of those matchups than not. Linderbaum's a little bit younger than Wirfs, of course. But, you know, Tyler Linderbaum went toe-to-toe with Tristan Wirfs throughout their time in high school, did it win a couple of those matchups in his own right as well. But when you're talking about that position, and tackle maybe not quite as much for how it relates to that position of offensive tackle in modern football, but especially the interior of the line of scrimmage, center and both guards, you're in such – it's essentially short area grappling that's there. It's a snap-by-snap wrestling match. It starts with a car accident, and then it turns into a wrestling match as a snap ensues. And so to have that background, it's really underappreciated, guys, how the level of core strength and trunk strength that's necessary for some of those hefty bodies in there. You don't see a lot of six-pack, you know, abs at center and guard, but they are very strong around the midsection, and a lot of that strength comes from the constant sort of grappling that happens, where you get moved at one moment, you have to shift your weight in another position, and you're doing that while someone is trying to force you in an opposite direction against your will. So really a lot of the strength is there. The ground-based power, it certainly ends all the way at the lower body through the thighs and the legs, but really it's underappreciated how much the true core strength matters when you're an interior offensive lineman. That's where a guy like Tyler Linderbaum, he's able to play above his weight class essentially, because like I mentioned, he's under 300 pounds, but he's got enough power and explosion through the lower body in there that allows him to match up with bigger players.
All right, Anthony, before we let you go, we got to get your best memory of the Nashville Cats. I was one of the announcers back in the day. Darren and I are both good friends with your former coach, Pat Sperduto. Used to love those times, and I know some people can go back to those days. some great memories in the early days of the old Nashville Arena. But give us your best memory.
Real quick, Anthony, I just ran into Pat a couple weeks ago, and he was wearing a Nashville Cat shirt. And I was like, man, I love it. Absolutely love it.
I am literally wearing a Nashville Cat shirt.
And nice.
I sit here and talk right now.
Outstanding.
About some of the best memories that I had as a professional athlete, you know, getting through college, a bounce around the NFL with multiple arena football teams. The city of Nashville and the organization, the Nashville Cats, it was some of the most fun time that I had had as an athlete because of not only the team itself and building those bonds, those relationships, but as you both know really well, just the city of Nashville, you know, how much, even for newer sports, you know, you got the Preds taking over the NHL and everything else. But it's a market, it's sort of an ecosystem that loves entertainment, that loves to support entertaining endeavors. And it seems like Nashville is the type of city that, with the newness associated with the, you know, the continually burgeoning entertainment industry in music and film and television, but then also in sports with the newness and some of those things, I think the Nashville Cats were sort of on the front end of that big touchdown happened. Rocky Top gets playing, and, you know, different events are happening, concerts here. Tim McGraw was one of the part owners and everything else. It was a really, really fun time to be an athlete and a fun time to be in the city of Nashville. It was really beginning to boom there.
That is awesome. Hey, we always enjoy our visits with you. If you see Ryan Porth in the hall at 670 The Score, just go Dusty Baker and just walk right on by. Just go Dusty Baker and then just keep moving and watch his reaction. It'll be priceless.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me to hit him with the American Dream Dusty Road, maybe hit him with a little elbow drop.
Oh, you could do that too.
You could be there too.
Actually, do start with Dusty Baker and end with Dusty Rhodes. Anthony, really enjoyed it. Thanks so much for doing this. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Yeah, always great talking to you. Doing good, too.
That's Anthony Herron, Big Ten Network. He's outstanding. He's really good. 670 The Score. Yes, he does work a lot of work there at 670 The Score in Chicago, where our buddy Ryan Porth works. Wouldn't it be awesome if he did that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
He was a great player, Anthony, for the Cats. He was one of, you know, those guys, you got to play both sides of the ball. He could do it. He was excellent. Just one of those guys that Pat Sprudito, he knew how to put together a great arena team.
I'm not kidding. I just ran into Pat after a Preds game here in the
last
couple
weeks. I got to go look for
weeks,
some old swag. I think I got some
somewhere. He had a Nashville Cat shirt on, and I immediately said something like, dude, I love it. And did Anthony say he was doing the interview in a Cats
shirt? He said, I literally have one on right now.
Oh, my gosh. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. All right. Tell everybody about Loan Pronto.
All right. If you're out there and you're looking at your finances going forward and you've got some credit card payments or some loans, they've got some interest and you're saying, okay, how do I cut that down? Loan Pronto has got the formula for you. Imagine your monthly cash flow without those big payments. You can do it today with Loan Pronto's debt consolidation refi. Loan Pronto's got a great system. They can help you use the equity in your home to your advantage. It's a smart financial move. Here's the deal. With your home value the way it is, it's up. Inflation has been great for your home. It's not great in general, but this is how you can do it. Refinance your mortgage now. Take money out to pay off your credit card debt. Eliminate PMI charges. Pay off personal loans or other high interest debt. And there's a lot of examples of homeowners doing this every day. I've been telling you about them. So why pay 20% interest when you can consolidate it into one low payment with a mortgage APR in the threes? The Loan Pronto debt consolidation fast and easy refi is amazing. So call Loan Pronto now. You could even skip your next house payment. 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Thank you, Roman. Don't forget this week's best deals, 312 Pizza Company. They serve the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. We were just talking about Chicago with Anthony Herron and Ryan Porth.
And he says on his Twitter that he is a pizza snob, Anthony Herron.
We should have asked him about 312 pizza.
If we had a little more time, it says still a pizza snob. We could have asked him about Chicago-style pizza, some tips, some pointers, you know?
I'm a huge, as you know, I'm all about the deep dish. I'm all about Chicago-style. Just saying.
It's very good. It is very good.
Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card at 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. Good stuff from Anthony Heron. Do we have anybody you think is listening to the show that went to Cats games?
I'll bet you we do.
I bet you we do too.
Now we're getting old, Darren.
I know, but I mean, that's what I know. It's been a while, right? Lots
yes.
happened.
And if you're looking at, to me, the days of the Spring Arena Football League, that was the prime of the league. I really think that they had a good niche, and they tried to bite off too much when they switched to whenever they started the season. They started going in, starting in February, right, instead of more like April. But I thought they had a really good nucleus of interest in some great places. A couple years that I did the games, you know, we were going to great arenas. You had good TV coverage. You know, you weren't aligned yet with the NFL.
People went to those games too.
There were some good crowds, mm-hmm. really good crowds. Arizona always had a great atmosphere. Nashville had an excellent atmosphere. Orlando had an excellent atmosphere. Tampa. They had a good circuit. They had a good thing going, and I think they just tried to go too much. And, you know, I could see it from the players' standpoint, too. They kept the salaries down, and the players, they wanted to find a way to get paid more. You know, it wasn't just, you know, they wanted, because there was some good coverage and some good attendance, like, hey, why aren't we getting paid more money? And that created an issue. And so they tried to grow, but then I thought it just – they tried to do too much. I mean, I don't even know what the status of the league is now.
It's still around in some secondary
markets, I think, on some level.
It's basically – I didn't even think it was. I wasn't even sure it's still around. I just kind of feel like it went away.
Let's just see.
But I don't know that. Rebecca on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, I went to one Cats game. It was so much fun. I'm surprised if you had that much fun, you only went to one, because most people, they did. They had fun, and they kept going back, right? It was fun.
Sure.
And it was another thing. It was kind of like the cool Cats when I was at Kentucky. It was the thing to do, and I get it. That was truly like a party. But the Cats games were a party, as you know. And remember, they had a lot of Friday night games and Saturday night games. And it was just, there wasn't a fourth of the things to do in this market as there is today.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was
a perfect time.
Perfect time to go downtown, go to the Cats game on a Friday night or Saturday night. If you want to sit in the hot tub, you know, go for it. But you don't have to. And then you can go out on Broadway and hang out. Like that was, like I said, when you had about a fourth of the options that you do today. And that was a real, I mean, we used to go to do that all the time. And like I was going to say, the Cool Cats, they played on Friday and Saturday nights at midnight. Well, you know, college kids, that's pretty attractive, right? That's what introduced me to hockey. That was our first Sheets of Ice in Lexington. And it was like, we used to go, I went to every Cool Cats game. I love it. I got to know the hockey players. And that was my introduction to hockey because I didn't grow up in a hockey market. We didn't even have Sheets of Ice until then. That was literally the first two Sheets of Ice in the city. It may have been the first two Sheets of Ice in the state of Kentucky. But it was they made it the thing to do, right? Like, that's what you did. You went out, and they played games at midnight, and it was packed, and it was just a big party. And that's kind of what the Cats were. So I feel that's what the atmosphere felt like to me. That's when I went, that's kind of the way I felt. It was just fun.
Yeah, I I'm looking at the Wikipedia, and this is a sad story. I didn't know this, but they have not played since the pandemic.
I didn't think so. I kind of felt like, honestly, I felt like it had kind of gone away.
2019 was the last year, and they never got it going again for 2020. And so it is discontinued. End of an era.
A lot of responses on our text line. Andrew from Dover says, I turned 32 next month, and I remember going to Cats games. Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was a good, affordable ticket. You had some good local stars. They really did a great job in the early years of identifying, you know, enough players that you heard of from the college days. Corey Fleming, Andy Kelly, those were the lead two guys, and they were both great arena players for a long time. And then Pat Sperduto and Eddie Kayat, man, they had a great eye mm-hmm. for finding the other guys. You know, the pieces around him that were good two-way players.
Drew on our text line says, my dad had season tickets, so we used to go. He said, did Tim McGraw own the team? He didn't own the team.
He didn't, but he became a minority owner. Very, very small piece of the pie, but they brought him in for some muscle. You know,
he was
for
basically
some,
like the restaurant with the name on it, right? I mean,
they never released the exact financial commitment, but yeah, I think it was something like that. But he was interested. You know, that was right around the time that he was in the movie, the Friday Night Lights movie, and so he was, you know, becoming more of a high profile actor along with the football angle. He was interested. Remember John? That was around when John Bon Jovi jumped in there in the Philadelphia franchise. Mm-hmm. I mean, the league had some things going.
It did.
They had some things going.
I went to a game once with Kevin Ingram, and his now wife was sitting behind us with a group of friends, and they've still been married to this day, and that's the day they met.
That's the day they met?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's good trivia.
We'll get Kevin Ingram on. He'll tell you.
That's good trivia.
Yeah. They met at that game. They were sitting behind us, and they're still married today and have a kid, a son. How about that for a cat story?
Excellent.
Top that.
That's excellent stuff.
Rebecca texted back in, I was young and broke. Well, it doesn't matter why you went there. As long as you went, you had fun. Okay, when we come back to wrap up the first hour, by the way, Joseph Newgarden at 11 o'clock, Tim Hasselbeck at noon, Chris Mason at 1 o'clock. Things on tap here on the show. But we have to investigate whether there were two Villies in the house last night at the Preds game.
Okay.
We'll discuss on the other side. But first, Willie, do you have a word? No, you don't. We'll come back and get to the bottom of Villy at the Preds game last night on the Jumbotron. Was it him? Was it not him? We'll investigate next. Ooh, 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 ooh. Tickets for the Music City Grand Prix. 3-day event, August 5th through the 7th. They're on sale right now. Now you've got a chance to win those 3-day passes to the Music City Grand Prix by texting in the word race. Text in the word race, R-A-C-E. Vroom, vroom. You don't have to do that. Just text the word race to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and you will be qualified to win. More details on the Music City Grand Prix can be found at MusicCityGP.com. Joseph Newgarden at 11 o'clock. Ryan Hartman has been fined $4,200, actually $4,250, the maximum allowable under the CBA for unsportsmanlike conduct during last night's game against Edmonton. I know what he did. He was a bad boy.
It specify in the rule book that there's a dollar figure for the bird?
Well, that's what it is, the maximum right there, $42.50. Yes. He told Evander Kane he is number one, and you can go stick it, Evander. That's what he did last night on the way out.
He had a good game, too.
Two goals, 29 on the year.
Brian from the Renegades of Puck informed me on my way out of the building, and I went back and watched the highlights, all five of the Minnesota goals were scored by former Preds last night. Did you know that, Darren?
No, didn't. Did not.
No, two for Hartman.
I did. No, I
two
didn't.
For Kevin Fiala.
You just repeated the first segment.
Freddie?
So, yeah. Well, you were,
good job.
Well, you weren't here. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know.
Is that Elijah laughing?
That was excellent.
A lot of people have done a lot of things since 10:03.
Yeah.
It's good news.
True. Yeah. Hartman with two, Fiala with two, yeah. Freddie Gaudreau. Predators North beat Edmonton last night, 5-1. But I did get a kick out of that he absolutely – and it was a pretty long bird. That's probably why I got the maximum. It wasn't a quick, you're number one. It was skating off the ice, letting him know he's number one. By the way, Ryan Hartman has been known to lose it like that. We saw it here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's –
like when he gets worked
Ryan
up –
Ryan Hartman is going to stir it up.
Explodes. Like
he's
a
stirred up guy.
Yes. Now we need to get to – we've got Joseph Newgarden coming up at 11 o'clock, and we just need to investigate what took place last night at the Preds-Sharks game. because I believe it was in the – was it the third period? I don't remember exactly when it was during the game. But there was a certain individual on the Jumbotron that it's been tweeted out, look like you with a wig.
Yeah.
And, of course, I said – there's no way, without knowing for sure, there's no way those moves was Willie Donning. No. No way that was Willie. Can't be. Can't
be. Are you saying the guy had bad moves and I have good moves? Or are you saying the opposite? That I wouldn't be able to reach that guy's level.
What would be your best guess that you think I'm saying?
Have you not seen me dance, Darren?
You know what?
You have not seen my talents?
I haven't seen your moves.
I mean, I was at your wedding.
You were, and that was a long time ago.
You're saying I've aged out of that.
That was almost 14 years ago. So I just kind of felt like that was the tip for me.
But did you think the guy, when you saw the clip, hey, good moves?
I thought not bad.
not bad
for being on the Jumbotron.
Not bad, yeah. I mean, he captured the moment, and the camera stayed on him. They thought he had talent.
I was a little confused. Like, I feel like he had a little bit of did he have a little bit of thriller in there?
He threw a little thriller out there, yeah. The side-to-side move, yeah.
Yeah, he was a little bit – he had a little mix, a blend of several things. I definitely felt thriller in there for sure. Yeah, I thought it wasn't bad. I don't think I could have – put on the spot like that, I don't think I'm going to top that. That's why I know I wouldn't have topped that.
Okay, but the idea that was me with the wig on, I kind of saw it a little bit, but the guy had, it was a goatee, and I had not gone with the goatee.
No.
So
totally honest, I didn't think it really looked like you. But I also see you. I've seen you a lot for the last 20 years. So I could see a little bit of why people would say that, but you remember me. I've seen you more than most. So I didn't really think it looked like you.
Right. It's kind of like with the twins, you know, some people say, I can't tell you two apart, but if I'm around you guys all the time, I can tell you, you know, I always know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that kind of thing.
Did you have the thought until it was tweeted out?
No, I didn't, but I did see the guy. I did happen to catch during the TV timeout that taking place live. But I didn't have the thought, hey, that guy looks like me. I dance like that guy. Mm-hmm. If I threw on a wig, I'd look exactly like that guy. I didn't have that thought. And then I get home and I see my own radio station is putting that out there for food for thought. Max Hurst appears to have jumped on this too. He retweeted this and added commentary. So, Max, you thought there was a resemblance there?
Hey, Darren. It's Max from the radio station, by the way.
Max, it's been a while, buddy.
I am the eyewitness reporter who filmed and tweeted the video from the 102.5 The Game account.
I figured it was you.
I looked up, and I locked eyes with the gentleman on the board. The face does look like Willie. And then my first thought was, Willie doesn't have long, curly hair. But it almost looked like the facial hair was attached to the wig. Like, it was all one piece. And then, upon some further thinking and texting with you after the game, I came to the logical conclusion that with former Predators Master of Disguise Nick Bonino in the building, that Bonesy had brought his disguise from his old Halloween costume as an autograph seeker at the Preds Halloween party and given Willie the wig, allowing him to masquerade as the fan of the game.
I did give Max kudos last night because we were texting late, and I was surprised that he was still up considering his shift this morning. But he did bring that up to me last night, and I was like, you know what? I hadn't thought about that, but that's – you may be onto something. I would put that past Bones. I wouldn't put that past him.
As Bill Walton would say, Darren, it all rolls into one.
Yeah. Well done. Well done.
Now that I'll tell you what, that was a great clip. Nick Bonino in the disguise for the fan appreciation night or whatever the meet the team.
Well,
part,
that was the second one.
Yeah,
the first one was less orchestrated because
he was out on the street. Yeah, the autograph seeker. Yeah,
they were up on the roof
at the private team party.
Right.
Yeah, they were up on the roof
outside of the event pretending to be a fan.
He and his wife were both in costume with like the big fold up book of hockey cards, like an autograph hound.
And Ryan Ellis completely blew him off.
and PK Subban was filming the whole thing from the balcony of whatever Broadway bar they had rented out for the Halloween party.
I thought that they were on the roof. They were on a balcony.
Wherever they were, a floor or two up.
Yeah, they were up.
Yeah, and so that was just kind of he's going to do it in the moment, and then the next year, he posed as a fan at a little bit more obvious of a time, and the team filmed it. So you would think the guys would see through it because most of them had already been punked the first time around, and he still got like probably three quarters of them.
He did. That was the one in the concourse.
Yeah,
at Bridgestone.
In the arena.
Right.
Yeah.
In the arena. But I think some fans ratted him out too, didn't they? Didn't some fans sniff it out?
It was the meet the team party, so it was the hardcore fans to begin with, and then as the longer he was out there, more people started becoming aware.
Yeah.
He had a ridiculously long beard at that time.
He did. He looked more out of place there than he did as the autograph seeker. It was funny. Benino was funny. Benino still going, still trucking. Played a steady game last night too for the Sharks.
He also got, in what I've heard in all the games I've been to over the last 9 years that I've lived here, he got the most applause and the least sucks in the starting lineup intro of any former player. Even the guys who played here, some of them still get a pretty loud sucks.
Yeah.
He got more than half claps, which is really something. And for good reason.
Huh.
That is real investigative reporting there, Max.
There was not a ton of reporting on the game to be done at times. So it was.
Yeah, there were some spots where
it was an interesting off ice
stalemate
night
there.
Yeah, well done. So Max is going on record saying he's had the least amount of sucks for introductions as any former Predator. Really,
with the qualifier of it only being games that I've attended, which is a non-public and unknown list. So allow
for
exceptions.
The 303 group and
yeah.
Ask.
I'm not the most
who the candidates
qualified
would be.
Person.
Former Preds, most and least vigor.
But I think some people also probably get joy out of like smiling and yelling sucks at someone they really like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all in good fun.
Yeah. Come back, start the third hour, or the second hour, not third. We're not there yet. Tim Hasselbeck's at high noon. We're going to talk to Joseph Newgarden coming up to begin the next hour of the DDC. We do that next year on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.